Can I talk to you about Tesco Bank Pet Insurance? Because as a dog, I'd love to talk about it. Can I? Great. I could be covered for all sorts. And they give you 24/7 access to vet phone. And they make it easy as pie.
Wait!
Pie? Did someone say pie? Who said pie? Oh, can't have pie.
Tesco Bank Pet Insurance. Approved by Pets. Every little helps. Monetary limits, excesses and exclusions apply. Arranged by RSA. Vet phone is provided by Vets Direct Limited.
How you doing, wrestling fans, and welcome to another edition of John Arezzi's Pro Wrestling Spotlight podcast. This is episode 18 of the one podcast that brings you back with vintage audio from 30 years ago. Joining me this week, we got the entire team assembled. Renowned wrestling journalist Bob Smith, also our producer and editor residing in the province of Quebec, Canada, in Montreal, Alex Robertson, and Mr. Suntan himself, from the warm confines of the Sunshine State, the One Man Wrestling Encyclopedia, joining us. I'm referring to Mr. Donnie Liable. So how you doing, everybody, team? It's good to see everybody. It's been a couple weeks.
Yes, and it's really good to see you, John. I just want to say that again. It's really good to see you, man.
Well, I tell you, before we begin, I do want to address the elephant in the room. And as I told you guys before we started taping, this elephant is a little bit lighter than he has been in a long time. and that's because my personal health situation, it has been an interesting couple of weeks for me. We're taping this episode on Thursday, February 10th. For the past 2 weeks, I've been down for the count. I contracted COVID. I started coming down with symptoms. It was kind of the day after we recorded our last podcast, and I think we recorded the last one on January the 27th. I had gone out to dinner on January 26th, the day after my 65th birthday, with some friends that I've known for many, many years, Suzanne Alexander and Jim Asker. Both of those people I worked with on Long Island and country radio, and they have been here in Nashville as long as I have. And Suzanne, I've worked with at GAC Television for many years. One of my dearest friends. I mean, she's a sister from another mother for sure. And we're also out with country music artist Anita Cochran. We went to a place called Sperry Steakhouse here in Cool Springs in Franklin, Tennessee. And a couple of days later, even on, I guess, on the night that we recorded the podcast on January 27th, I started developing a little bit of a cough. And on Friday, the 28th, I developed a cough, and it was kind of concerning me because I hadn't been sick in a couple of years, since 2019, really. I hadn't been sick at all with anything. And by Saturday morning, January 29th, fever, body aches, and I knew that I had contracted this COVID. I just knew it. And on Sunday the 29th, I was able to get a PCR test, which takes a few days to come back. But I also had a rapid test done that day and showed that I was positive. And it really was a scary situation for me, even though I was double vaccinated. I was boosted with my age and with the, I guess, the pre-existing conditions. It really alarmed me because I deteriorated so quickly from, fever, cold chills. It was just I was kind of scared. I really was. And my doctor, who I've had for 20 years, Dr. Charles Maribel here in Franklin, Tennessee. I mean, what a wonderful doctor. I mean, he visited me, came to my house, made sure we were both fully masked and all of that because I was sick. And he was very concerned. He tried to get me monoclonal antibodies because you got to put those in your system as quickly as you can once you get this. And there weren't any here in Tennessee. One hospital had them. And then there were two experimental drugs that were for emergency use only. One of them made by Pfizer and one by Merck. The Pfizer one was not available anywhere either. The other drug was available, and he found it about 40 miles from where I lived, and I was able to get a regimen of that into me. But, even though boosted, vaccinated, I was not hospitalized. I guess that's what the vaccination is for, whether you believe in it or not. I believe in it. I believe the vaccination saved my life and the booster saved my life, because with everything I had going on, from what my doctor said, and he's like, people, you know, you don't, if you can only see the air that's around you when you're in indoors like this, and with your age and with everything else that you have, you know, underlying conditions, you could have had a very negative outcome. So he made several calls to me in person. And who hears about doctors making house calls? But and he checked on me today, you know. And after 2 weeks, I was out with took a little bit of a walk today. I still feel like I have a really bad cold, but I'm here. So, you know, I'm happy to be here with all of you. So that's my COVID story. Any questions? you're all stunned. You're all speechless.
Well, I don't want to be corny, you know.
Well, he does another podcast, doesn't he?
Oh, that's true. Actually, I do want to be corny, but that's a whole nother bowl of wax. Yeah. These things are hard to discuss because it's hard to listen to because, you know, we're all friends here. When I heard you had COVID or read it actually for the first time, I got scared. Yeah. You know, I think on Facebook you heard from a friend of mine who said Bob was all upset about, you know, hearing about it. And it was true. I the day that I discovered that you were sick, I had to gather with some people that I know, and they said, "What's wrong with you?" And I explained it. You know, I told them what was going on. Yeah. And one of them is a Patreon member, Stan Kaplan. Hello, Stan, yes. If you're listening. And he said, you know, he really wanted to know what was going on. He loves the show, and he wanted to know that you were okay. And I said, I can't answer that. At that point, I couldn't answer that. Right. And that was the problem. When you first, and I have to admit, you posted a photo, I think on Instagram originally. And you did not look well, man.
I was not well, and I was scared. I was scared because it was kind of getting like each day you were getting worse, and that's the thing. And I couldn't sleep, and I'm on a sleep apnea machine anyway, and I've done so well with the sleep apnea machine for the last year and a half, and it really cured that for me. But once I got sick, that machine wasn't working anymore. I couldn't keep it on my face. I couldn't breathe properly, even with the forced oxygen that produces. And I was getting scared. I was like, but I, you know, I had faith in the vaccination. I really did, in the booster. I had faith in it because, the percentages of people who, are hospitalized and die, are low. It's not, you know, it's not 100%. Obviously, there are people that are much older than I or sicker than I that don't come through it, even though you were vaccinated and boosted. I mean, people die from this thing. And just a quick little story, and I won't mention a name. We lost a major record producer here in Nashville yesterday. Guy that was in his 50s, number one hits, big songwriter. But very vocal on his social media that he wasn't getting vaccinated. The vaccine doesn't work. It's all a liberal thing. And I don't want to get into politics here, but, you know, a few days ago, he got sick, unvaccinated, unboosted, and he's dead. He died. And now the whole community in Nashville are like, they can't believe it because he was such a healthy guy, healthy specimen. But he was he went into the hospital, developed double pneumonia almost immediately, and he passed away yesterday. So,
well, you know, if you go back to 2020 when all this hit us around March, I guess, of 2020.
Yeah,
I knew a fellow who was told on Wednesday he was sick, and he was gone by the weekend.
Yeah,
and that has informed me and really stuck with me really hard. He was a good family friend of ours, and. It was so painful in the beginning because, you know, people were finding out they had COVID and it was over for them in the very beginning of this because nobody knew how to handle all this.
Right.
We are fortunate right now that they have come up with treatments and there is the vaccine. And I think people are more informed than they were at the beginning because there was confusing information and there still is confusing information right now about everything.
Absolutely.
So
there is.
Again, I hate to sound corny, but when you first reported that you were ill, and I thought about your age because you just had a birthday.
65, yeah.
And
it's like anyone who's 65 and older, you know, it could happen. It could certainly happen. And the thing that really got me about this thing, and I've read so much about it, and obviously, and I've been following it. I have family members that had it. I mean, most of my family has had it. Some were vaccinated. Some were not. The ones that were not vaccinated got sicker than the ones that were vaccinated. But for me, I mean, my personal experience with it is like it was so odd that it kept attacking me in different ways. Like I'd have this high fever and these cold chills, and then they would go away. And then I'd start with a sore throat that I couldn't swallow for several hours. And then that would go away. And then I'd get these incredible headaches, these pounding headaches like I never experienced before. And then the headache would go away. And then I'd start coughing. So it would be attacking all these different things about me, maybe trying to latch onto something that could finish me off. I don't know. It was the oddest illness I've ever experienced. And I'm still, you know, I still have effects from it. You know, hopefully every day is going to get better. But it really did a number on me. And I'm like, all right, you know, I'm okay. I'm just tired. I'm lethargic. It's the sniffles today. And that's even a different thing that I hadn't experienced before, like the sniffles. And it's funny because I'm still with rapid tests. I'm still testing positive, which is insane. The line has gotten a little bit lighter and fainter in the rapid test, but I still got some of it in me after 2 weeks. So I'm just going to be careful, and that's all I can do. And I want to have fun with this damn show that we do, you know?
Well, once again, welcome back, John.
Thank you.
I don't know what else to say, my friend.
It's good to be back. It's good to see you all and talk about, you know, wrestling and what happened 30 years ago. So let's
30 years ago, when we didn't have to dodge pandemic germs, right? And those long ago, wonderful old school way we used to have fun. Right.
Right. Exactly. You know, I mean, you'd get sick three, four times a year with a flu or something. It was like,
yeah.
Oh,
I got the flu every season change for my whole life until 2020 when I put the mask on, and I haven't had the sniffle since. So right. It's like,
that was me. I hadn't gotten sick since 2019. Not a sniffle, not a cold, nothing. And then this is made up for all of it. But we got, you know, some really cool stuff to do here today, and we'll get into it. We have an exciting show for everybody going back 30 years with Mr. Kip Fry is the special guest that appeared 30 years ago. And we have some really cool stuff upcoming. But before we get into all the fun, if you really want to have fun, why don't you do what so many others have done, and you dig deep into the archives of yours truly in the Pro Wrestling Spotlight. And there's really only one way to do that, and that's by becoming a patron for the show. So, hey, listen, you know, become a patron. Help me out. I'm not feeling good.
Have a telephone.
That's not even the shameless.
Oh man,
blow.
No,
just blown right out there.
The shame is just flown out.
You know,
the window.
You feel bad for me, everybody.
Yeah.
Show me that you love me. Become a patron. $5 a month gets you in the door. But because I'm not feeling good, why don't you come in at $25? Only kidding. Patrons are having a great time with patreon.com/John Arezzi. All the archive shows are there. And believe me, we got some really cool stuff coming up. You could join monthly, sign up yearly. We're accepting the annual memberships now. There is enough content on the page right now to keep you knee deep in vintage wrestling for months on end. Over 200 pieces of vintage wrestling history are there to enjoy. Every episode of the Pro Wrestling Spotlight from April 1989 through this episode, which takes place on February 16th, 1992, are there. We have vintage photo sets, bonus audio dating back to the early 70s, videos, 8mm film clips from 1973-74, Zoom calls, which we had to cancel the last one, but we're going to reschedule it now. And you also have the option to receive vintage wrestling magazines sent to you monthly as well. Patreon.com/John Arezzi. So here we go, Bob. 30 years ago, what the hell happened on the Pro Wrestling Spotlight?
Well, of course, we have coming up very soon a news capsule, which we've redubbed the Time Capsule with Don Leibel, who does his usual crack reporting, as he did every week back then. But our focal point is the new, albeit short-lived, head of WCW, Kip Fry. And you knew him better than I did, John, at that point. I know you had had some personal dealings with him at that juncture.
I was very impressed with him. I mean, not only were we invited to his opening press conference in Kansas, which I went to, but he was very professional. He was someone who you immediately respected. And it was kind of a different dynamic from people who ran wrestling organizations. And, you know, Jim Herd was cantankerous, cranky, short-sighted, bit condescending, bitter. Jim Herd was not a nice guy, not a nice guy. But Kip was so different and so professional, and you really wanted him to succeed. And the fact that after Kansas and doing the press conference, and he was like, "You ever want me to do the show?" I was like, "Yeah, I do." And gave him a date, and he booked it. And I think it was really cool of him to do that so quickly after taking the position over.
Well, there's an old expression called wrestling people. And wrestling people should run wrestling organizations has been the predominant rule of thought my whole life anyway. And I met Jim Herd, and he did seem like a nice guy. All right. I just knew he was cordial and nice to me and knew who I was and blah, blah. But I will say this. He wasn't wrestling people. He, you know, from his concepts such as the Ding Dongs to the comic book style wrestlers that he was bringing in a blatant attempt to copy the stuff that failed in the WWF. That's what kills me about it. He started to go down the road that didn't last very long for the WWF in terms of characters that would appeal to children type of thing, I guess.
Yeah, like
I don't know what toddler would become all shortly and happy watching the Ding Dongs. You know, I just don't understand how that appealed to anybody, let alone, you know, a 3-year old. But
Herd was I got off on the wrong foot with him anyway when I got back in when Steamboat came on my show and when he left in 89 and everyone felt that should have never been talked about on the air about a contract negotiation. And then Jim Herd came on the show, but he never, and then we had the issue with Sting in 1990 about the convention. So, and you know, he called me a bottom feeder or whatever it was. And so, he never really liked me, and we got off on the wrong side of the tracks, the wrong foot with Steamboat and then the Sting stuff. So, you know, he might have just really had a dislike for me because of those two situations. But Kip was a whole different situation with Kip Fry.
He sure seemed to be. I mean, he really reached out to the wrestling media, which was had to be refreshing for people like you, John.
Oh,
because
it was.
After you'd been shunned by the WWF so blatantly for so long, here's a major wrestling organization saying, "Come here, we want to tell you what we got going on." That had to feel pretty good.
Yeah, it was kind of good. It was being embraced and, you know, getting the access to talk to him. And then you kind of really wish the guy well because after Herd, which so many people didn't like Jim, would keep coming in, which was really, if you look at it in the long, you know, if you really look at it historically, he wasn't there that long. He was there less than 4 or 5 months and he was gone too. So. But it was great to have him, and I think our listeners 30 years ago were kind of excited that here's a guy that runs a company coming on to talk about his vision for what WCW was going to be under his leadership.
And it got better real fast. I mean, everybody was writing WCW off as crazy, and Ric Flair was gone, and other stars were gone, and Cornette was gone, and go down the list, and all of a sudden, here comes Cactus Jack. Here comes a level of excitement that the fans hadn't seen. Ratings were up. Pay-per-view buys went up. And it was all during this period. It's pretty – he did a nice job. Looking back on it, I really don't understand what was going on in the corporate thinking and why he lasted such a short amount of time.
Yeah, it had to be political. There had to be forces, creative forces, wrestlers who just didn't feel like he was the guy. And everyone, you know, everybody knows what the wrestling business is backstage, especially during that time period. Not so much today because it's so different than it was back then. But everyone was angling for their position, for their job, and for their friends. So that's the way it was. It was like, I'm going to help my friends out, and I'm going to push this guy out. And, you know, there was always that hardcore fan fantasy about Bill Watts coming back because he was kind of the savior, you know, with his time as the guy who ran the UWF and his genius, as a lot of people called it, and his mentorship to guys like Jim Ross and Eddie Gilbert.
Everyone, Jim Cornette.
And Jim Cornette. Everyone felt that Watts was going to be the guy that they really should bring in there to compete with the WWF.
Well, he was the diametric opposite of the anything the WWF was doing.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, some of that diametric opposite got him in a little trouble, Mr. Watts. But
yeah,
we'll get into that.
We'll get into that in future weeks, of course.
Yeah. So why don't we go to the opening now, which you will take the reins from the opening theme, and we talk about a bunch of breaking news, and we get more newsletter news with, you guessed it, Vince Russo.
And it's been a busy, busy week. Let's just put it that way. A lot of developments, in particular with the World Wrestling Federation. Some heavy-duty stuff went on this past week. We'll wait for Donnie Liable to let you know what has been going on over the past couple of days. The news has been breaking every single day. But our very special guest for this evening is a man who has taken over the reins of World Championship Wrestling. And to my knowledge, this is the first time that a person with this power, amount of power, has appeared on a wrestling talk show. We're referring to the new Executive Vice President of World Championship Wrestling, Mr. Kip Fry. And Kip will be joining us during this program and taking your calls and comments to him about World Championship Wrestling. So we certainly have an exciting, exciting show lined up for everybody listening out there, hopefully in several states over the Northeast tonight at the Pro Wrestling Spotlight. We also have some big news for you regarding our live remote broadcast next week at the Press Box Cafe. And we got lots and lots to talk about. And, of course, Pro Wrestling Spotlight Weekly issue number 7 mailed out to all the listeners. And Vinny, I tell you, Vinny Russo here, our executive producer and co-editor of the newsletter, thinks just to continue to go big guns with the newsletter.
Yeah, the newsletter is on a roll, as they say, and the 7th issue came out this week, and you could tell them a little bit about that issue, John.
Okay, the issue, front cover story, obviously, as we told you here last week, you heard it here first about Legion of Doom losing their World Wrestling Federation tag team titles. We have a nice cover story on that itch, on that particular situation, with a great cartoon of the LOD. We got a Where Are They Now segment interview with Johnny Valiant. We talk about the Pro Wrestling Regulation Bill shutdown in Florida, our regular columns, the Rumor Mill, a couple of editorials on the past few issues of Pro Wrestling Spotlight Weekly, and brand new column, Making of a Champion, written by Vince Russo, as he is now attending Johnny Rods' wrestling school along with a find of his, and they're taking doing their training.
Yeah, that's an education unto itself. It looks so easy on TV, but believe me, when you're in the ring, it's not that easy.
And a great, great Matt Memories talking about the Fred Blassie fan club as well. So we got the jam-packed show for you today, and we want to just let everybody know as well that after today's program, as we usually do, we will be here taking your calls if you'd like a free sample issue of the newsletter. We'll be more than happy to send one to you if you have not received one in the past. And for those of you who have been getting free copies, it's stopped with issue 6. So you have to subscribe now in order to participate in all the fun and reading all the newsletter stuff that's been going on.
Make sure you send those checks in, fans.
Yeah, we were always hawking something, weren't we? I mean,
well, you had to.
We had to, yeah. And the sponsors just were not there, and we were trying to keep the show going. And And the newsletter was picking up steam. I mean, there was we're, you know, coming into our own a little bit. Our styles were very different. This is really interesting because it's the last within 30 to 40, 45 days, Russo and I would be no more. So it was on its way to becoming tenuous, and then it would be explosive. So,
well,
that comes up pretty soon.
Speaking of explosive, we have it was more scandals than Patty Smith could handle at this point in the WWF.
It was
one thing after another. Don is going to come on with his news capsule, and it's like, this is stuff that's been, all these scandals he's about to talk about are kind of lost to history.
Mm-hmm.
These weren't nearly as big as what happened before and after, but every time the WWF was getting into the news, it was bad news.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don, are you with us, Don?
Yeah. I'm anxious to go back in time with that. Like you said, there was just so much going on. And again, it's really monumental when you think about it now, to Kip Fry, someone running an organization of that magnitude, reached out to, you know, want to get closer to the fans. That's really special, really special.
It hasn't happened too many times since, except for, you know, if you look at AEW today with Tony Khan, I mean, he really embraces the media in a way that it really hasn't been done in many, many years. But Kip was somebody that was trying to kind of have access, have the fans get to know him and to get his vision. And for him to do shows like this was really incredible at the time.
I have a question for Bob. Given the way, and if you could educate us a little better at the time, the magazines, how many months ahead of time that, you know, from time you start a newsstand, from the time you put it together, did you have enough time to do any kind of stories with Kip Fry, either as a feature or included in?
If we did, I don't recall it at all. And I'll tell you, it's for the reason you said, it was such a short period of time. And I think we would obviously report that he had gotten the position that he had, but I don't think we took it any farther than that. You know, it's just, again, it was one of the shortcomings of the old school wrestling magazines is, you know, it'd be 6 weeks. You know, we'd write about something, it's 6 weeks later when it hits. 6 weeks, if you can imagine that. You know, Don, and you know, John, yeah, you guys were the wrestling magazines. It was such a gap of time between when you worked on a piece and when the fans actually got to see it. It's almost unfathomable now because everything is so instant. If something happens somewhere, everybody knows about it within 5 minutes now, literally. But back then, you know, it was the, you know, Wells Fargo wagon of news reporting. You had to wait for it to show up.
Yeah, I remember back in the newsstand days, I'd write a story and sometimes it wouldn't come out in the magazine for at least a year.
Oh, we got burned by it so many times. We did a face interview with Sergeant Slaughter when he came back to the WWF, and he shows up on TV wearing the Iraqi garb and we looked stupid. But we didn't know.
No.
You know, so if they change an angle at the last minute or change a plan and they do something like that, we're the ones with the egg on our faces, you know.
How dare they?
Well, yeah, well, they have a right to do what they want. The problem is, you know, we had to make a living too. And, you know, oh, that was so awful. Oh, God, that whole Sergeant Slaughter stint. Let's not even talk about it. But so let's get on to Don Leibel now. And let's listen to what these particular news items were, because like I say, these ones have been kind of lost to history. So I think you'll get a kick out of what was brewing in the newspapers and on the blotters at that point.
And we're going to bring on Mr. Donnie Leibel. Don, how are you?
Pretty good, John. And like you said, a lot of stories making headlines this past week. Most of them all taking place outside of the ring, and not much happiness at this hour, especially in the state of Connecticut. So a very good evening to everybody, and leading off the capsule tonight, this past Friday evening in St. Louis, Missouri, law enforcement agencies made an unannounced visit to the dressing rooms housing those on the World Wrestling Federation show. Although details are sketchy at this time as to why the search, complete with the canine corps, reports have it that the authorities were looking to speak with two still unidentified wrestlers who, as it turned out, weren't booked on the lineup. Well, the Federation will continue to see its name centered in several upcoming newspaper and television pieces. The long-awaited interview with superstar Billy Graham talking about alleged steroid use in the company will air on ABC TV's 2020 show on Friday, March 13th. The March 1st issue of the Los Angeles Times is scheduled to run a page one article surrounding the steroid topic, as well as the San Diego Union newspaper. Former Matt Watch editor Steve Beverly reported this past week that Hulk Hogan has been negotiating a contract with New Japan Wrestling Promotions that would commence sometime after WrestleMania 8. Now, the deal supposedly being sought by the Hulkster is calling for six shows at $100,000 per show annually. Now, with the WWF's current agreement in the Orient with the SWS group, such a move, if signed, could cause a strain between all three promotions. More disturbing news surrounding the World Wrestling Federation. Late Friday evening, we have been informed that the Texas Tornado, Kerry Von Erich, was arrested in Richardson, Texas, for allegedly presenting a forged medical prescription to purchase drugs. Now, the action, a misdemeanor charge, came at a time when he was supposedly going through a rehabilitation program. Bond was posted, and Von Erich was released. Turning to World Championship Wrestling news, Greg Valentine has joined their talent roster. Look for the Hammer to align himself with Terry Taylor. Now, WCW will be coming to Worcester, Massachusetts on Saturday, March 28th, and to the Meadowlands, New Jersey on March 31st. With less than 2 weeks to go until Super Brawl 2 on pay-per-view, WCW's next extravaganza on pay-per-view will be from Jacksonville, Florida on May 19th, that being WrestleWar. In American Wrestling Federation news, promoter Gordon Scozzari has announced that Paul Orndorff has given up his claim to the organization's heavyweight championship. Sweet Stan Lane has been named to replace Mr. Wonderful's as the champion. Orndorff claimed he was looking for full-time work within the promotion, and with the AWF's next shows booked for April 10th through 12th in New England, it would be in both parties' best interest to part. And sticking with the AWF, they have apparently reached a working agreement in Puerto Rico and tentatively plan on TV tapings on April 21st and the 22nd. Now, Hercules Benny Ayala is the top drawer with the group locally. Steve Strong is the recognized Caribbean champion. And the surfer Sonny Beach and Jeff Gaylord are scheduled to partake on the shows in Puerto Rico. Finally, the wrestling world mourns the passing of Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer on February 7th. While touring with the National Wrestling Alliance's office in Atlanta in 1982 and 83, Sawyer's intense competitive spirit coupled with gifted physical talents rose him to main event status. Now, in recent years, Sawyer had been operating a wrestling school in Sacramento, California. His body was cremated and spread over the Pacific Ocean. For Pro Wrestling Spotlight Enterprises, I'm Don Leibel reporting. Capsule time, 10:11.
Wow. A lot of stuff.
Busy.
3.5 minutes. My God.
And you That's know, I noticed from listening to that, I mean, when you're talking about the differences of what was going on in the wrestling business, you had with the WCW, you're talking about the matches. And when you talk about WWF, you know, first thing you're talking about is how 2020 is getting ready to do their interview with superstar Billy Graham about the steroid stuff. And that didn't even air because the sex scandals then broke. And then Billy met with the producers of 2020 while he was in New York for the Donahue show, because I just uploaded that show, you know, for us to review in a few weeks, obviously. And he was talking about how 2020 was canceled because of all of those stories that you were mentioning there, Don. Was kind of, a lot of them were put on hold or segued from steroid to the sex scandals, which was an incredible time, because the sex scandals, the steroid scandals so dominated so much of that stuff. And then the sex scandals just were starting to surface. It was crazy.
You know, one of the things I mentioned in the capsule, we were, WCW was coming to Worcester, Massachusetts, which was a big thing because, you know, coming east. A side note with that, because I attended that show, but that same weekend, in fact, I think it was the same day, WCW was on a Friday, I believe. They were in Worcester. WWF was somewhere in the Boston area. And afterwards, the boys used to stay at a Holiday Inn in Revere, which is not far from Boston. And I can remember that night at the bar, the WCW guys there, WWF guys mingling. And I think back now that, man, why didn't I take some pictures of that? Because that was, you know, that was unheard of, breaking kayfabe or whatever at that time. I remember seeing Shawn Michaels mingling with the guys and out on the dance floor and whatnot. That was really something different.
Oh, without a doubt. And also, I mean, not, you know, how unique that was, but, you know, you start the capsule off with the canines invading the locker room.
Right, right.
And I remember how big of a story that was 30 years ago that they invaded the locker room with canine dogs looking for a couple of performers who weren't even on the card, apparently looking for narcotics.
Mm-hmm.
What a locker room.
And it, like I say, these little news nuggets got buried because so much was about to happen and so much had happened.
And so much was happening every week, it seemed like. Yeah. What a crazy time.
One of the things was mentioned about the passing of Buzz Sawyer. Yeah. And anybody who watched him, I mean, I remember his glory times on TBS when it was Georgia Championship Wrestling. And he was so intense in the
ring. Very believable.
I kept thinking he's going to have a stroke. He was so intense. Yeah. And then one time I came to visit down here in Florida and met his brother, and who subsequently ended up going on tour with you to Venezuela. But nowhere near as intense as Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer. His feud with Tommy Rich, I'll always remember that. I mean, that was amazing. What a great worker.
Oh, no kidding. And you're right. He was a tremendous maniac.
Mm-hmm.
He could flip that switch. He could go both ways. During his career, he was a face too and all this other stuff. But when he decided to go full on heel, he was a wild man as good as they were in that period. I equate him with people like Mark Lewin and, you know, people who, when they flip that switch,
yeah,
bang.
Yeah, you want to stay away. And once you get that flip switched, as even someone who was in the business, you don't want to be anywhere near them because you don't
exactly
know
right.
If it's a work or a shoot, is this guy really nuts or, you know, and he was kind of nuts.
Old school mentality.
Very old school mentality. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love the old school mentality.
Yeah.
It's like Terry Funk was another one. Oh, I mean, God. if don't even get in the same vicinity as Terry Funk when the red light was on. That's all I have to say. And I mean that as a compliment because he lived it, man. He meant it.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? That translates to the fans who want to see a performer like that, who know that he is as intense as it gets. Mm-hmm. And Buzz Sawyer was like that. I mean, he died way too young. It's just such a shame.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because there was such a string of deaths that, you know, we will eventually be covering. So many in that era died.
You know, when we talked about Kerry Von Erich getting arrested because of the passing the prescription, yeah. This is all going to lead up to his passing as well.
Yes, it will. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Do we know whether this alleged activity resulted in any type of repercussions for Kerry, or did it kind of?
Yeah, he was going to go to jail. I mean, he was waiting for sentencing, or was sentenced, and I mean, you know, I could remember bits and pieces of it now about how he knew he was going to go away and whatnot, and then of course we all know what happens after that, and I'm sure as time goes on we're going to have those reports here, but. Like you said, so many deaths started just coming on a regular basis.
Well, I have to tell you, the Von Erich saga starting right about then, Don and John, it got worse and worse and worse. Mm-hmm. And that was the type of thing that made me question why I was doing what I was doing anymore. It was really weird and strange and sad. What happened to the Von Erich?
It was real. That was it.
It was real. Yeah, there was no. And there's the thing. I mean, but the Von Erichs, it just got more and more and more. And every bit of news you heard was worse and worse. It was terrible. It was just terrible. And, you know, I can't even fathom what was going on in all those young men's minds. I can't. And it's just one of the great tragedies in the history of the sport, in my mind. Because if you look back to the glory years of the Von Erichs, who was bigger regionally than they were? Nobody.
And who was as nice as Kerry? He was such a
great guy,
of a person.
Yes, he was. He really was. He came to our offices one day after he had signed with the WWF. And him and Apter went out to a steak. We had a nice steakhouse across the way. And he couldn't have been nicer. And a great guy to talk to and very friendly and down to earth. Like, it's one of those guys, you talk to him for 5 minutes and you thought you knew him for 10 years. That was my, it's what I came away with Kerry. What a shame. I don't even know what to say. And to watch him publicly, apparently, break down the way he did, it's just heartbreaking. It really is.
Yeah, he was at the convention that year in 92. I believe that was the year he was there, right, Don? Do you remember? Was it 92 or 93? And he was just so nice to all the fans, but you could tell there was something terribly wrong with him, too.
Really? Oh, man.
But, you know, the trauma.
He stumbled and fell at the convention. I remember that. But he was so nice to people. But you could tell there were just some irreversible demons that were going on with him at that point.
And you know, Johnny, I could only imagine the pain he had. You know, how they kept that a secret, you know, about him losing his foot was amazing.
Yeah.
I could imagine the pain that he went through with that, physical and emotionally, then trying to still lead a professional life and at the same time trying to hide in his professional life of his disability. It was just unbelievable. But I know we're getting caught off going on a tangent there, but
yeah.
Just what a superstar, a super nice person. And that just reminded me of this is where the tumbleweed is going to start rolling down the hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible newsworthy time capsule, Don.
Yeah.
I mean, for the period, I call it like a tweener, because it wasn't the steroids, it wasn't the sex scan, it was all this stuff going on in the middle. And that was a great one, Don. It's like the more you listen, you go, geez, I don't remember that. And geez, I didn't remember that. You know, it just kept going and going.
Yeah. And if you want to hear the entire episode that we're talking about today, straight through with commercials, it's patreon.com/John Arezzi. $5. There you go. And you can hear the whole thing.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we're going to move on to Kip Fry now.
Yes.
And Kip, just very open, very honest. He talks about controversial topics here and freely. You know, he's going to get into the news of the day, as it were, in pro wrestling. And it's kind of revelatory, as it were, listening to him speak at this point. John, did you find it the same way?
Yeah, I was excited to have him on, and I was very happy that he was an open book. I mean, he really answered questions that maybe others wouldn't have. He was very transparent, and no matter what the question was, he was answering them pretty honestly.
Yes, he was. So let us hear now from the brand new head of WCW, Mr. Kip Fry. And I will let you know, there's a little bit of phone line confusion, a bit of phone noise at the beginning of this clip. Just hang with it, because it's worth listening to this entire clip. And here we go.
Mr. Fry, are you there?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Okay, why don't we just try to ring him back?
I'm on.
Oh, you are on. Okay. Beautiful. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
We're doing very good. And first of all, I want to welcome you to the Pro Wrestling Spotlight and the listeners that we have right now in approximately seven northeastern states. And Mr. Fry, it's a pleasure to have you here. Over the last several days, there have been so many negative stories on professional wrestling. And, I just have to just let you know that I personally feel that you've come into the wrestling business as far as an executive vice president for one of the two major organizations, and certainly have been a breath of fresh air. We've dealt with a lot of people over the last several years, and your openness so far has been tremendous.
Well, I appreciate it. We'll hope we can keep things going.
Well, you've been why don't we just get a little bit of a background on yourself, as far as you were appointed as executive vice president for WCW, I guess a little over a month ago.
Right.
And you had been working within the organization for some time before that.
That's right. I was in the legal department at Turner Broadcasting, and among other things, worked for the wrestling organization for WCW. I did the legal work for them for about 9 months.
Okay. And a lot of things have already happened since your appointment to the position of executive vice president. First of all, Jesse the Body Ventura was added on to the broadcast team, and he appeared at the Clash of the Champions from Topeka, Kansas, and will be announcing at the Super Brawl show in just 2 weeks.
Right.
And that was a great addition right off the bat.
Well, thank you. You know, it was interesting. The first day I started working, it seemed to me that there was one guy out there in the business who had no business being outside of the business anymore. And I called him literally the first day I got him on my job, and he was very receptive, very excited about getting back involved, and we've really hit it off, and I think he's going to be a great addition.
Well, we understand that you've also had meetings with his representative, Barry Bloom, about a long-term relationship with Mr. Ventura.
Uh-huh.
What is the status of that right now?
The status of it is we're as close to having a final deal as you can be without having two signatures on a paper. Jesse will be with us for the next 2 years.
2 years?
Uh-huh.
That's great. That's great news for the wrestling fans out there.
Yeah, I think so. He's going to be a phenomenal addition.
Now, Jesse will be handling syndication, some of the syndicated shows, as well as the clashes and pay-per-views, from what I understand.
Well, he'll be handling, he'll be handling some of our TV. We haven't quite determined exactly which shows he'll be on, because we have so many different ones. But he'll be doing weekly TV in addition to our special events, yeah.
Okay. What changes are going to be taking place as far as WCW syndication and the formatting of the current worldwide wrestling shows and WCW pro wrestling shows?
As far as the formatting of them?
Will there be any changes in formatting or announcing crews? I've heard that there will be some other announcers brought in.
Yeah, we're going to go back. One of the things that I disliked tremendously from our shows in the past was that we had gone to the one announcer format, and it just seemed that there was so much more entertainment value there to be had if we brought in another color person. And we're going to be adding a second color announcer to all of our shows, in addition to really a variety of other things. We're going to be updating the look of all of our shows graphically, and I'm personally going to reformat a couple of them to be a little bit different and to give the wrestling fans something that they haven't gotten in the past.
Okay. Can you indicate to us at all, as far as maybe some of these other announcers that are coming in? We've heard names bantered around, like Teddy Long reappearing and some others. Any names that you can give us at this time?
Teddy's going to be working on one of our shows, and we're really going to just kind of feel our way along with him and see how things work out until we make a determination as to where he's going to be for the long term.
Okay.
The rest of them really... we're just in the process of evaluating them. We've got a couple of people within the organization that I think would be terrific, and there are some people outside of the organization that I've been told would be great also. So we're in the process of doing it. The concept, though, is that we're going to have two announcers in all situations.
Okay. Have there been any changes made as far as any other front office personnel being brought in or let go?
Yeah. One of the other things I did on the first day I got on the job was that I hired a full-time vice president level marketing and promotion person, a woman actually, and as far as I know, she's one of the first women in wrestling in that area. Her name is Sharon Sodalo. She comes from ESPN. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
And has worked with Turner for a couple of years prior in the area of pay-per-views, and she'll be devoting all of her time to marketing and promotion. Where there really wasn't anyone in that position before.
Okay.
There have been a couple of other changes. Jimmy Crockett, who I'm sure you know, is now in charge of all of our arena booking. And as you know, Dusty Rhodes continues to be our overall booker.
Okay. All right. The phones have been lighting up like crazy here. We're going to take calls for Mr. K. Allen Fry here at the Pro Wrestling Spotlight and just a couple of minutes, but there are a couple other items which I'd like to discuss with you before we open up the phones.
Sure.
One of which, and we've been hearing a lot of rumors through the grapevine, so to speak. And one thing you mentioned to the media that was gathered in Kansas City, that when you want to report on something, please report on it if it is a rumor or a fact. And if you're unsure of it, just give you a call and ask you about it. And we've heard a lot of talk about steroid, a new steroid policy being instituted in World Championship Wrestling, and even promos being cut by some of your active wrestlers regarding steroids. What can you tell us at this point about that policy?
Well, I can tell you that I've been really focusing on that from the day that I started. It's an issue that I consider to be one of the most important in all of wrestling, and one that I've been struggling for the correct approach to. We're finishing it up. We do have the policy configured and ready to go. We're just kind of crossing our T's, dotting our I's, and it'll be out sometime during this coming week. And probably it's best. I mean, I know I'm on the show tonight, but and I'll talk about it generally. It's not all the way finished, so it's hard for me to give you the specifics of it.
Okay, so that announcement is forthcoming.
Yeah. Just to give you a little bit more detail on it and a little bit of the flavor for the way I feel about it, there are a couple of ways I could go with this. One would be simply to turn to try to do what some of our other competitors have done and just turn it into a kind of police state and institute this mandatory testing business where the whole perception of the public is we've got all these guys who we have to bring in and test constantly. It may come to that, but what I'm trying to do is find a way that's a little bit more progressive, I think, a little bit more in tune with getting the wrestlers to understand both the dangers of steroids and maybe even as importantly that World Championship Wrestling is going to promote people not because of their size but because of their wrestling skill. And if I can accomplish with this policy a situation in our organization in which people want to get off steroids, don't feel they need to be on them, I think that's going to be better for everyone concerned, and we're not going to be put in the position of having to always be wondering about who's cheating on what test and having the public try to figure out, you know, who's telling the truth about things and all that.
Okay. Well, you know, we wish you the best of luck with that policy. We've been here at the Pro Wrestling Spotlight, really involved with a number of the wrestling journalists from around this country, covering this just incredible story regarding steroids and abuse in professional wrestling. Of course, it's rampant in all sports and in all walks of life these days, especially with the high school kids.
Right.
And it's a very, very tragic situation.
And you are right that we have started creating and will be putting into our shows public service announcements done by our wrestlers telling kids that they don't need to go that direction, that hard work is the way to achieve, and that steroids are something they need to avoid.
Well, it's certainly a message that the kids listening to this program and those who are competing in college sports and high school sports to really listen to these messages, because it's crucial right now that they get the word that stay away from anabolic steroids. I have one more question for you, and then we'll open up the phone lines. And in professional wrestling, most wrestlers are considered independent contractors. At least that's the case in the World Wrestling Federation. I know World Championship Wrestling has a number of guaranteed contracts, wrestlers that are exclusively signed to the company and receive a salary in lieu of box office revenues. There has never been in professional wrestling a situation for the guys to be covered by any pension plans or any real health benefits. Can you comment on that situation? Is that something that WCW will be looking to do for the futures, maybe develop a pension plan or health benefits for its athletes?
Well, first of all of our wrestlers are independent contractors. Some of them have contracts that guarantee them a minimum amount of money in return for the exclusivity to book them in our organization. But there are other components of the contracts that allow them to make more if they perform better. So we really don't have any employees who are wrestlers. As far as pension and health, it's something that I couldn't understand when I came in, and I am working with a couple of brokers up in New York right now to create a kind of group, a group health benefit situation in which all the wrestlers can pool and realize some benefits and some savings in health insurance. And part of the whole key of this is getting our steroid policy in place and getting that voluntary enforcement going so that we can be more effective in getting an insurance plan for the guys.
Well, that certainly sounds great, because that's something that we've been pushing for here at the Pro Wrestling Spotlight, because these guys, they take risks every single time they step into the ring, and to have no insurance or no pension plan, it's a ludicrous situation, which has been going on in pro wrestling for decades.
Well, I'll tell you, the things that these guys do in the ring, I'll match up against anyone does in football or basketball or, you know, any other professional sport out there.
Yes, I totally agree.
From steroids to ticket sales, John, he was right open about everything.
That's what I loved about it, is that there were some controversial things that were going on, not just in the WWF, but of course, when you're talking about steroids. And, you know, he was very transparent, very honest, you know, admitting that there was a steroid problem in wrestling, and that included WCW. So he was really open and honest, and it was really it was great to have that rapport with somebody like that, where on the other side of the coin in Connecticut, you couldn't get anybody to even, you know, to answer a call or even tell you to go screw yourself. Yeah. They would just ignore you, you know?
Well, you know what also killed me about this is that the next clip, he takes calls from the fans.
I know it.
Can you imagine that happening with a certain person you're speaking about? It would never happen in 1,000 years.
No.
So I really think that Kip Fry wanted to get his finger on the pulse of what the fans were thinking at that point, because it was important.
And we had curious fans. We had people who were smart.
Well, we sure did. I mean, he was jumping right into the lion's den here.
Yes.
And also, we'll hear more from Don Leibel in this next clip. Mm-hmm. And let's get around to this one, because there's some really interesting stuff here.
Cool.
Okay, let's take our first call. Did Don Leibel ever get through again? Okay, let's go to the phones, and we're going to go to Joel from White Plains. Joel, you're first.
Yeah, hello. Hi, Mr. Fry.
Hi, how you doing?
Oh, good, good. I've heard a rumor that there is some conflict between Jesse the Body and Jim Ross about announcing duties. Is this true? I mean, is...
Not true at all. I don't know where you heard that, but and I don't know why there would be... Can you hear me?
Yes.
I don't know why there would be a conflict. Jesse has been down to our offices several times, and he's very excited about working with Jim Ross and with Tony Schiavone, and he's really looking forward to the whole package.
Well, it's going to be an exciting team, not only with Jesse and Mr. Ross, but Jesse and Mr. Schiavone. Thanks for your call. Let's go to John from Franklin Square. John, you're next.
Hello, John.
Yes.
Hello, Mr. Fry.
Hi.
I just wanted to make a comment and maybe ask you a question.
Sure.
I think it's great what you're doing, what you just said about the steroid testing, that you're doing something before you're forced to do it.
Uh-huh.
And let's face it, steroids are something that can kill you.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, though, something that popped into my mind, there's been a guy that's lately been at the forefront of educating people about the dangers of illegal steroid abuse. And he's a former world champion, and his name is Superstar Billy Graham.
Uh-huh.
And, quote-unquote, your competitors have been avoiding this guy like the plague. And I think if somebody like that showed up on WCW in some shape or form, or a spokesman or something, it would really show people that you mean business. Have you ever given any consideration to a guy like Superstar Billy Graham working for World Championship Wrestling?
Well, he hasn't contacted us, and so there hasn't been any reason for me to think about it. The one thing that I would want to avoid is to seem or to appear opportunistic in this whole issue, and to look like we're doing something just for the publicity value of it.
Uh-huh.
That's not what we're doing, and I would, if Billy Graham called me up and wanted to do something, I would have to, the first question I would ask him is, look, is this something that's really substantial, or is it just something for publicity's sake? And if it were the latter, I wouldn't want to get involved.
Yeah.
In any other way, though, sure. I think that than in what we're trying to do. He could be a great help, as well as a lot of other people.
Yeah, like, I guess just seeing his face on the TV, would, I think it would have some impact. It would really show, Jesus, the other guys are avoiding this guy like the plague. They're trying to make believe he doesn't exist. And here we are, we have him, we're showing him. He's right here saying we're for real.
Well, again, you know, there is a way to deal with this issue constructively, and there's a way to deal with it to try to slap our competitors in the face with it.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that the things we do aren't to slap our competitors in the face with it. We're going to do what we want to do because it's the right thing to do.
Exactly.
And we'll just leave it at that.
Okay, John. Listen, thanks for your call.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Okay, the number to call here is 212-477-5610. And if anybody out there knows of the side effects and the repercussions of doing steroids, it certainly is superstar Billy Graham. We're going to go back on the lines now to Adam from White Plains. Adam, you're next.
Hello. Hi, John and Mr. Fry.
Hi.
How are you? I have a question for you, Mr. Fry. Mm-hmm. If Bret Hart comes to your federation, what are your plans for him?
Bret Hart hasn't come to our federation, and so it's hard to say. If he were to come, if he got to a position where he was contractually able to come to our organization, we would love to have him. He is a terrific wrestler and a really one of the great technicians out there. To have a worker like that in our organization would be great, and we would be real interested in talking to him.
Okay, thanks for your call. Let's go to Dave from Staten Island. Dave, you're next.
Kip, I'd just like to say it's an honor to speak to you.
Well, thanks
and
very
I think
much.
You're doing a great job for the WCW.
Thank you.
My first question is this.
One question, please.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. Next time, remember your question. We got Donnie Liable. We finally got him back. Let's go to Don right now. Don, how are you?
Hey, John, thanks a lot.
Mr. Fry, this is Don Liable. He's a wrestling reporter, and he does our news capsule every week here, and a columnist for Pro Wrestling Spotlight Weekly, and he wanted to touch base with you about a couple of issues.
Hi, Don. Hi, it's a pleasure to meet you, and the best of luck with your new position.
Thanks very much.
I have two questions that tie into one for you. Recently, in ordering the current pay-per-view that's coming up, I noticed that from the past it was $19.95. Now, as I ordered it this week, it was $24.95 in my area. This is Central New York.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering, considering especially the way the economy is, I know companies have budgets to consider, but I think for the average person, perhaps a $5 jump either way may make them say, you know, maybe I can't afford this. And if maybe the logic was taken that if you sold it, say, for $15, you might sell more and make up the difference and earn more.
Yeah, that might very well be. That was a decision that was made before I got here. That was already in the works. I have already asked for a study on how we might cut back on that again. I think probably there's a better way to get to our fan than charging them $24.95.
And
the other thing that I'm doing is that I'm working on cutting down our ticket prices in the arenas as well.
Well, see, now you got me right there. My next question was that it seems that some people say that going to wrestling matches and WCW, WWF, whatever, that perhaps there should be some type of family plan. Being in especially recessionary times, when you consider parking, tickets, souvenirs. A family of four could easily spend close to $100 at perhaps, as you said, at arenas. You could have special sections, say, for $5 a ticket for each person. Not only is it would be good publicity, but I think it would be sending a signal that this company cares about its public and they understand what, you know, and yet they want to keep your loyalty.
Yeah, we're looking into all of that. My opinion is that wrestling ought to be more like baseball than it is like football, where a family can go even on the spur of the moment if they want to and not have to save for 2 weeks to be able to go there and pay for it. And so, yeah, that's something that I feel strongly about, and we're working on it right now.
Oh, thank you very much, and because I know in the past, wrestling was always a family affair, and it just seems that costs and everything have gotten out of sight, and it's good to hear that it's being considered. And once again, good luck with your job, and all the best to you.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye now.
Donnie, we'll speak to you next week.
Good enough.
Thank you. All right, back on the phones right now, and we're going to go to Joe from Clifton, New Jersey. Joe, you'll be next here in the Pro Wrestling Spotlight.
Hi.
How you doing, Joe?
First of all, good job with you've been doing with WCW, Kip.
Thank you.
I have a question about Juice and Thunder Liger.
Uh-huh.
I understand he got an injury recently. And I just want to know if it's going to affect his match, Super Bowl.
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. The injury that he had, we think, is going to be healed well before the Super Bowl.
Okay, I'd just like to say, too, he's a really great wrestler. And I saw him, back at the Meadowlands.
Uh-huh.
And it was really a tremendous match.
That was a great match, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Fantastic.
Yeah, we're going to have him back in the States more often now. But let me tell you something else. You know, there are two guys that make a great match, and Brian Pillman, I'll match his skill up against Jushin's. And our whole approach to the light heavyweight division is to give fans more of that type of exciting action. And we're going to be focusing on that even more in the future.
Well, that division, the light heavyweight division, and the matches that Pillman had with Liger, they drew standing ovations at the arenas here in the States that they worked in December. And that's also something to commend the company on, to develop this division where the fans can see the light heavyweights do some spectacular moves, especially Pillman is just coming into his own every single day. And he seems to have developed a style, a working style from Japan, and he's just getting better and better.
Well, thanks. You know, there's another component to the light heavyweight division also that you might not have considered, and that is I want to make sure that I have a place for guys who both mentally and physically, when they do come off of the steroids, if they've been juiced up so much that they need to, that they think they're going to look small, I want to have a place for them. And the wrestling in that light heavyweight division is as exciting as any other. And it's just gonna enhance our entire operation, I think.
Well, I think that's a surefire way to get the guys off the juice, so to speak, because if these guys have it in their heads that they have to be monsters, but if they get off steroids and their weight drops 20, 30 pounds, if they know they still have a place and are getting a proper push based on their talent, it's going to make a ripple effect happen with all the other wrestlers that may be on steroids, and that's certainly something that it's another great thing.
That's the whole key to it. From the point of view of our organization, it's as much a problem in our wrestlers' minds as it is in their bodies. They have been conditioned to think that the only way they can be successful is to be these huge guys, and we have got to tell them and to tell the fans that what we're interested in is putting on the best wrestling product that we can, and you don't have to be huge to put on a great wrestling product.
We've had many great champions in wrestling, John. We've had, Harley Race and Ric Flair and Bruno Sammartino. But now we discovered Don Liable, champion of the consumer.
Wow.
Don Liable, who steps up and walks up right to the head of a major wrestling federation, goes, lower the prices, will you? Now that is a hero.
It took a lot of balls.
Can I tell you where I got that idea? Because everything I talk about is not original. I steal from everywhere. You know where I got that idea? Not only does it's something I believe in, that everybody should have an opportunity to go somewhere, and if they can't afford it, have a special section. Like, when I grew up, you go to a baseball game, for instance, you could go to a bleacher seat for $1, $1.50 or $2.50. Remember the movie Mr. Mom?
Mm-hmm.
With Michael Keaton?
Yeah, I do.
Well, He loses his job. He stays at home. His wife goes out and gets a job. She works in a marketing company, and they're trying to sell tuna fish. Their biggest client is Schooner Tuna. How are we going to sell tuna? It's a recession. And she says, she convinces the owner of Schooner Tuna to do a TV commercial and say, during these trying times, we're going to lower the price of our tuna fish. And when things get better, then we'll raise the price back up. But right now, we can feel your pain, and we're going to show you by lowering the price of our product. Same idea with wrestling at the time. You're in a recession. Some people can't pay $20 a ticket and all that kind of stuff. So if we have a family section where they could sit for a family of four, say for $50 or whatever, something like that. So I just thought it's a logical thing.
Well, it's appropriate today, that's for sure.
No kidding.
Look what's going on today with the recession around the world, and especially, I don't know how recession is up in Canada, but I'm sure it's pretty intense like it is here. I mean, gas prices here are incredible, and
Yeah, I wish the government and politics and
here in New York, prices for every little thing have gone up so much so quickly. Yeah. Can we get Alex? How is it up in Canada? How are prices?
Well, inflation has hit us very, very hard. Everything from gas prices to food. Food has gone up insanely since the pandemic, but more recently just because of like the COVID restrictions and now the Freedom Convoy. So it's been pretty bad here overall, I would say, too.
It's almost like this this increasing like bubble of you can't afford anything. And what's the end? What's the end going
to
be?
Well, in addition to the prices, it's like you can't get it if you want it and can pay for it.
I know.
There's so many things that are in short supply right now.
Inflation hasn't touched, though, is our Patreon account.
Manufacturing. Oh, gosh. But manufacturing is in real trouble because they can't get the parts they need to put things together.
Yeah.
Because now, it's tough.
I'll give you a quick personal story. November 1st, I took a car in. My daughter was in a car accident. I took her to a collision place to get fixed. November 1st. I'm supposed to get the car back tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness.
Because trying to get a door, they told me, impossible. It's a Hyundai Sonata. And so we've had November, December, January, and now tomorrow is the 11th of February. We're supposed to get it back tomorrow. So there it goes to show you we're still waiting because it took so long to get that part.
Yeah, it's not just a problem here in the States, but I'm sure, as Alex said, it's up in Canada. It's everywhere. I mean, inflation is incredible. And this pandemic has done a number on everything. It certainly has. So hopefully, you know, I wish we had the 1990s prices. I wish we had an affordable way to survive these days, but it's incredible. But interesting stuff there, Don, and getting right to the point with Kip and like, hey, you know, you increased this by $5 and he says it didn't happen under my watch, really. It was it was happening before I got here.
You know, but I'll say this about Kip in that segment too, guys. Here's a quote. He's talking about Bret Hart, and he describes him as, quote, one of the great technicians out there. Think about those words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would Jim Herd have ever said that?
No.
Would he know? He wouldn't know a technician from a janitor.
Or a wristwatch from a wrist block.
There you go, right. Gorilla. But Fry obviously knew his wrestling, and you could pick that up with his also comments about Brian Pillman and Liger.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what he was watching. He had a feel for the product. Boy, I wish he had hung around.
Yeah, he seemed to have a passion for it too. I mean, he was excited about the opportunity that was presented to him, and sad that it didn't last longer.
I'll never.
When you mentioned Liger, one of the highlights, one of John's conventions, he had Jushin Thunder Liger there. And I can remember being in a little office room. It was maybe John, myself, and Liger, and maybe one other person, maybe not. I think it was before an auction or whatever, because he gave you one of his masks to put in the auction.
Yeah, he wasn't very happy with what I wanted to sell it for as an opening
bid. But being with him alone, that was really, really special.
Yeah, he was pretty feisty about that auction. For sure, but he got what he wanted. That's for sure, and it was great to have him there. It was a real treat for us to bring him in, because I knew he, as far as the hardcore fans that attended the convention, that he was the guy that everybody kind of wanted to meet, but they hadn't had the opportunity, and so we were able to get him. I think he got him through Fumi Saito, actually, but it was good. It was good. We'll be covering that too. Lots to come here. But getting back to Kip there, Bob.
Yeah. He took some calls, as we know, in after a break.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had a bad the days of radio, you had a bad connection for a while. And yep. I think they had to get the lines cleared up, which we are not going to listen to because it's really not worth hearing.
You can hear it, like, you can hear it at patreon.com.
Yes.
Right?
If you want to hear the static and the beeping, $5 a month, fans.
You hear the whole thing.
But anyway, one of our favorite callers is about to come on. Steve from West Hempstead. You remember him?
Oh, one of my favorites of all time. And
well, he was great, wasn't he?
He recently resurfaced on the Facebook group.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Steve Topkiss is his name.
Would it be worth getting him on the show here?
I reached out, you know, and haven't heard back. But he comments occasionally, and he commented actually a few days ago. So, yeah, it would be great to have him on as one of the regular
One of the epic callers. So let's get a little epic in our lives and listen to Steve and some others here on our last tape segment. Here we go.
Okay.
Okay, this comic book that's come out through Marvel Comics, the illustrations were fantastic in it.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? It's we're real happy to have Marvel be a part of our deal.
Yeah, that's a major, major company in Marvel Comics now with the WCW monthly comic book. And I got the first issue myself. I'm not a comic book collector, but the illustrations were very, very realistic. Mm-hmm. With the exception, I guess, of Johnny B. Badd and PN News. They were a little dark. They were a little darker than they should be, I thought. We're going to get back on the phones. Matt from Baldwin, you're next.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Yeah, I got a question for Mr. Fry. Have you guys been making any effort to get Ric Flair back in the organization?
No.
No?
No.
Has he expressed any interest in coming back?
You know, Rick's got the program going up in the WWF, and I'm sure he's busy with that. We had discussions with him when our contract ran out, and he made the decision to do what he did, and he's up there now, and we're not, we don't, while someone's under contract to another organization, we don't try to go out and steal him.
Yeah, that Flair is champion right now, the WWF's, and I think he's signed a two-year deal with them, and the first year's not even over yet, so you could look for Mr. Flair to remain where he is at least until, I believe, late 1993. We're going to go to Steve from West Hempstead. Steve, you're next.
Hi, John. How are you?
How you doing, Steve?
Good, good. Kip, a question for you. A couple of names, Terry Bam Bam Gordy, Dr. Death, Steve Williams, and Paul Orndorff. I heard those names possibly coming to WCW. Any truth to that?
Yeah, there is some truth that they possibly may be coming. But neither one of them is signed yet, but we're working on them.
Okay, and one other quick question. The wrestling newsletters that come out that go behind the scenes, I'm wondering, what is your opinion concerning them? Do you like the idea that, you know, people pretty much know what goes on a couple of weeks prior to what happens?
You mean in the sense of the television?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure how you can deal with it. The truth is that I think that the newsletters themselves are great. I think they're great for the business. I'm glad that they're a part of it. And I think that's a little bit different approach than my predecessor took. I think that anything that creates fan interest is great. And when you get in that situation, people need to be to have the freedom to print what they want to print. I don't think I should be in a position of trying to control what anyone outside of my organization writes. And so I don't think there's a lot I can do about their decision to print things.
Okay.
Okay, I happen to agree with you. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Yeah, that's a situation where your predecessor really got paranoid a lot over some things that were being written. Now, the people that read the newsletters, for the most part, the Wrestling Observer newsletter, we have started our own weekly. These are the fans that are going to come to the shows anyway.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, these hardcore fans that are out there, I think the Observer has a little over 5,000 subscribers. These are your fans that are going to go to your shows anyway. Mm-hmm. So I think there was a little bit too much taking them seriously. You know, of course, we try to report as accurately as possible. And Dave out there in California is considered the New York Times of pro wrestling, in my opinion. I think that federations had previously taken the newsletters too seriously, that were affecting and losing, turning off people to go to wrestling matches, whereas I feel that people who read the newsletters are going to go regardless because those are the hardcore fans.
Yeah, I do too.
Now, what is going to be the policy? I know you discussed it briefly in Kansas City as far as getting, for these types of programs, guests to promote upcoming events. For example, I know you guys are heading back to the Meadowlands at the end of March. Is there going to be an open door policy as far as obtaining guests for Pro Wrestling Spotlight to talk about these upcoming shows?
Yeah, well, to the extent that we can, you know, match up schedules with people, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel that our wrestlers need to do everything they can to be in touch with the fans in any way they can.
Yeah.
And I'm going to encourage that.
Wow.
There you go.
I mean,
cooperation.
Wow. You're not used to that. It must have felt great. No, I mean,
it was incredible. Yeah. And the fact that for their Meadowland show, which was the end of March, they did a deal with us at WEVD, and it was an advertising buy, and it was tickets, and we had gotten other guests, and we were also were able to book Johnny B. Badd at a live remote. So, I mean, yeah, the cooperation was there. It was there. And him being transparent in his answers, you know, you could tell that the guy was genuine. So it was kind of cool to have a different slant on the previous regime.
Yeah. All I can say is, Kip Fry, we hardly knew you.
Yes. Donnie's going to look for him now.
Yeah, Don's
going to. I'm going to look for him. Okay. I'll find
anyone. He's going to. You find anybody you want to, my friend. You're out there every day digging into how can I get a hold of this person, whether it's a baseball person or a wrestling person.
Well, I'm still sitting here trying to figure out what happened in terms of
right.
What I don't remember, and you guys would have to tell me if Kip Fry left or was ushered out to usher Bill Watts in. I just don't know the circumstances between him leaving and Watts coming in.
He was
now relieved. Was Watts working for the company at the time?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. No.
No. Because it was kind of a shock that Bill Watts was coming back.
It really was.
It was a big shock.
I mean, Watts was as old school as you could get. And, yeah. You know, what Herd had been trying to do was go somewhat new school, you know, by becoming a caricature of the WWF. So the fact that they would even consider a guy like Bill Watts, I thought was surprising at the time.
Yeah, and Kip was doing bonuses. Like, if someone really did a good performance, he'd bonus them. Which was crazy. That was unheard of in wrestling. And then Watts comes in and just starts cutting everything again.
How long did Watts last? He didn't last that long, did he?
I don't know how long specifically, but it wasn't a long reign. No.
All I knew from where I sat at that point was that Turner and Watts, I don't think, got along at all. They're like the Turner people, you know, the TBS people. I don't think they were seeing eye to eye in virtually anything. And only Bill could tell us that at this point. But from what we were hearing is that they were at loggerheads constantly over content, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And there were some things that were said. Wasn't there like didn't he get axed with some controversy?
Mm-hmm. Something with a woman.
Something went down. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Dark Journey. Maybe was it Dark Journey was involved in that or something?
I don't remember, to be honest with you.
It just reminds me of something with Bill Watts. I remember Eddie Gilbert telling me one time that if the guys were out at night, babyface, heel, whatever, if they were, Bill Watts didn't want the guys together, but if we're in a bar and it was a fight and the guys didn't get together and, you know, defend one another, whatever. He said the next day, if Watts heard there was a fight, he'd look at everybody's knuckles in the locker room. And he said, if they didn't have bloodied hands, he says, they would get suspended. He says, you always fight for the honor of the business. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, good episode here today, Bob. That was our last clip, right?
That was.
It's a good show. I mean, we got some really cool stuff coming up, too. I mean, very exciting next several weeks. And we have special news about our good friend Mick Foley, who will be joining us for next week's episode, which is going to be kind of cool. We do a live remote with him at the Ballpark Cafe. And Mick has graciously agreed to come on the program to talk about his days with Pro Wrestling Spotlight. So that's something for us to look forward to. And then directly after that, then we get into the sex scandals and
that's explosive stuff. And we got a lot of really interesting content coming up here over the next several weeks. So tell everybody about it. Pass the word around that, you know, this podcast is going to be covering some really cool stuff and having Mick Foley here to reminisce about his appearances on Pro Wrestling Spotlight. It's going to be really cool. It's going to be really cool to have him.
Johnny, you know, if we were doing a show right now and I was doing a news capsule, I probably would have in there. I know I would have it. I'm not sure if it's the lead or the next story, but wrestling lost a wonderful female wrestler this recently, Candy Devine.
Yes.
And I just like to mention that because I knew Candy when she was a fan club president for Lanny Poffo. I met her back in 1979. She's from Nashville, and Debbie Combs worked with her a lot.
I think I had her at the 83 at the 93 convention, Don. Didn't she work that show? In the
she
ball?
She may have.
I saw pictures of her with Medusa and Sherry Martel.
Yeah, because she was AWA yesterday. Champ too,
she did work with me on at that convention. She was there.
Sad loss. She spent many years in wrestling, always based out of Nashville. She's an old pro from, you know, our era, and I hate to see these people pass, and I just didn't want to go unnoticed that thank her for what she did for the wrestling business, because she was a fan as much as a worker.
Yeah, and good coverage of that unfortunate passing of Candy at SlamWrestling.net. I mean, where Alex does such incredible work with those folks there. But we lost somebody else that I found out about today. And, you know, of course, we're taping this, you know, people will all know. But if they're a Lucha Libre fan, everyone who's a fan of Lucha Libre and AAA would have known about Toro Rivera and Mr. Rudo, the announcer. He passed away. Yeah. And you met him, Don, of course.
He was in Chicago.
I had the opportunity to do play-by-play with him at that first AAA show that we did in Los Angeles in 1993. And what a man. What a great guy. What a legend of AAA and another sad loss in the world of wrestling, because he was the voice of the AAA for decades. So, we're ending it on a sad note with the losses of Candy and Arturo Rivera. And, we're here each and every week, and we hate to talk about those sad things, but we will be back for another week next week, and we'll live it up a little bit with none other than Mr. Mick Foley. So I want to thank you, Donnie, of course, and Bob and Alex, and always a pleasure. And it's really good to be back, even though we haven't lost a beat with the podcast. I mean, because we had a few in the can, we still haven't recorded in a couple of weeks.
I want to be a cornball one more time. Welcome back, John.
Thank you.
I know it was a tough period here, and it's nice to see everybody. So thanks, guys.
It's good to be back, and this COVID thing, just be careful out there, everybody. Yeah, I mean, what can you do? You can't even be careful. It doesn't matter. It's gonna, you know, it don't matter how careful you are either. I mean, it really does. I mean, it really doesn't, actually, because I think I was the most careful person out there. I was extremely careful and mindful, and you know, even when up in New York, I mean, I didn't even see my family for 2.5 weeks while I was up there because they had gotten sick, you know. Anyway, what can you do? I mean, stay safe as much as you can out there. Before we wrap it up here, I just want to thank everybody, of course, for being a patron. If you haven't joined already, patreon.com/JohnArezzi. There's no other reason to really get into it, but you know that you should join, so go ahead and join. What else can I say? Also, if you're listening to this podcast, no matter what platform you're on, please share it, share the links on social media, that helps us. Give us a 5-star rating and review on it in Apple as well. And, you know, we're still waiting for questions to come in. I mean, we have an email address. If you want your questions answered here at the Pro Wrestling Spotlight, send us an email. Send it over to ProWrestlingSpotlightJA@gmail.com. We'd love to answer your questions here. Send us a note, and we'll be more than happy to answer whatever questions that you may have. And don't forget to check out the sister podcast, Matt Memories from Madison Square Garden, covering the shows at the Mecca of all arenas, 50 years to the day the show takes place. I was at all of them, really, from August of 71 right through mid-77, around there. A new episode to coincide with the 50th anniversary of the shows at Madison Square Garden. So new episode is up right now. Just look for it, Matt Memories at Madison Square Garden. That show was co-hosted by Tim Poutre and written by Richie Garcia. John Arezzi's Pro Wrestling Spotlight podcast is a production of Matt Memories, LLC. Our co-host is Bob Smith. Our producer and editor is A-Rob. Alex Robertson, Donnie Leibel covers the time capsule each and every week. The Pro Wrestling Spotlight's creative director is our friend Marsh. And thanks to Patreon executive producers Jeremy Priest and Matt Walsh and all the patrons for your support for the production of this show. Until next week, when we relive more history with you, this is John Arezzi for the Pro Wrestling Spotlight.